Well, good morning, Grace Point Church. It's good to see you again this weekend. We're glad you are here to be a part of our service. Do you realize Christmas is coming? Is anybody not fully ready for Christmas? Raise your hand. Yeah. Libby, I thought we were. You raised your hand. Oh, my. I didn't get your present yet? Is that what you said? I thought we weren't buying presents this year. It is good to have you here. Looking forward to our worship time together. And I want to give you a chance to say hello to some folks that are around you or beside you, in front of you or behind you or even across the aisle. So stand up with me. Say hello to somebody. Welcome them to Grace Point Church.
Good morning.
This is Jack and Cindy Meadowcroft, and they're going to share in our Advent reading this morning. Go ahead, Cindy.
Today is the fourth week of Advent. We begin this season with the lighting of the candles of hope and peace. Last week, we lit the candle of joy, and we were challenged to share joy to the world as our Lord has come to us. Today, we light the fourth candle, which is purple. This candle represents love. We light this candle knowing that love is a vital part of Christmas. As a matter of fact, it was God who loved us enough to send his only begotten Son into this world to live, to die, and to rise again. It was all because God so loved this world. God so loves you and me. God is not only central in the Christmas story, it is central all through God's word. Romans 5:8 states, God demonstrated his love for us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. One of the first verses many learn as a child, God is love, which is found in 1 John. The great commandment of Matthew 22, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. It seems love is everywhere in God's plan. One other great verse of many says, there is absolutely nothing that can separate us from God's love through Christ Jesus our Lord, which is found in Romans 8:39. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Today, let us think on this question. Are you walking in the love of Christ every day? Are we loving him and loving others just as he called us to do?
You can sit it down there. Thank you, Jack, and thank you, Cindy. All right. Would you pray with me as we begin, please? Thank you, God, for your love. Thank you indeed. I don't think we can ever fully realize the depth of your love, how gracious it was to us. But for what we not only know, what we think, what we believe, at times even what we feel, your love, we are so grateful. And now, Lord, our worship time today is a response of our love for you because you loved us so much. So bless us as we worship, as we turn our hearts, our minds, our spirits to you. May you speak to us about your love. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Simple message. And yet so impactful and life-changing. I want to remind you of our Christmas Eve service. It starts 4:30 Wednesday, and we hope you'll be there. And there are cards on the back. I don't know if they got in the pews this week or not. These little cards right here are just invite cards. So you can invite someone to our church for Christmas Eve. On the back it says a little bit. And if you were here a few weeks ago, I asked you if you're one of our Grace Point regulars, members, or you come all the time, for Christmas Eve and Christmas Eve only, please prayerfully consider, and I already know God's answer is yes, please consider sitting down in the front pews. And I know that goes against what churches are all about, but we're going to have a lot of guests here that day, and they surely don't want to sit in the front pews. We want to make them as comfortable as possible. So if you're willing, take an extra Ativan, whatever you need to do, come on down and sit in one of the front pews. All right? Very good, very good. Well, it's Christmas time, and no one wants to miss out on Christmas. I heard the story of one young little boy who wanted to make sure his dad got the message about what he wanted for Christmas, which was a watch. And every day in the morning, and when he got home from work, it was, "Dad, I want a watch." An hour would go by, "Dad, I want a watch. Hey, Dad, look at this. What's this? It's a picture of a watch. I want a watch." And finally, Dad had enough. He'd heard it over and over again. He said, "Son, I know you want a watch, but if you mention it one more time, you are not going to get a watch." But the boy knew his dad was forgetful. So that night at supper time, he said, "Dad, can I pray tonight?" And the little dad said, "Oh, why, sure you can, son." He said, "Well, Dad, how about, can I quote a verse of Scripture?" And the dad was really impressed. He said, "Absolutely you can, son." He said, "Dad, I'd like to quote for you the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, verse 37. And that verse says, 'I tell you now what I told you before, watch.'" It really does say that. You can go back and check it out. That little boy did not want to miss Christmas, at least in some regards. Nobody wants to miss Christmas. But what amazes me in spite of all the Christmas hype is that it's possible to go through the Christmas season and totally and absolutely miss the reason for Christmas. And so I want to share with you this morning a message called "Don't Miss Christmas." Now, in your bulletins, you should have received an outline. Take those out. I hope you have a pen or a pencil in your hands, and you can fill in the blanks as we go along as we talk about "Don't Miss Christmas." Now, at the very first Christmas, when Jesus was born, there were some people who missed Christmas. And for some of the same reasons, people miss Christmas today. So let me give you some reasons why people miss Christmas. You can fill these blanks in. First of all, there was the innkeeper. And the reason the innkeeper missed Christmas, he was simply too busy. The innkeeper was simply too busy. Here's a silly question for me to ask. Do any of you ever get busy at Christmas time? Anyone here get busy at Christmas time? Sometimes it can feel like more like Clark Griswold trying to hide his Christmas lights inside and out, and they're not working, and so you have to, and we get so busy. We have to purchase and put up a Christmas tree. We set up the nativity scenes. We put up wreaths and mistletoe. Parties we feel like we need to attend. We need to go to every one of them. We purchase gifts for everyone, people we don't even meet. We send them a card. Most of us don't send cards anymore, but we use e-cards, right? Got to get these e-cards and send them out. Then there's parties to go to, a family party, a neighborhood party, a work party, and how about food? Oh my gosh. Did you know over 2 billion Christmas cookies are eaten in America alone during this season? 2 billion. What I thought was really cute was 360 million are left out for Santa on a plate. I like, that's so cute. Everybody said, "Oh, that is so cute." We stay busy. In Jesus' day, the innkeeper was too busy and he missed Christmas. You remember the story? There was a census being taken, and all of the Jews had to come to Jerusalem. They had to be counted, literally counted. So Joseph and Mary, being good Jewish people, were headed there. Now, she was pregnant. And so they had to get from where they were to where they were going. I guess because she rode a donkey part of the way, it kind of brought on labor. And she was ready to have her child. In Luke 2:6, it says this, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. So they went to an inn and they said, hey, we need a room. My wife's in labor. She's going to have a baby. We really need a room. Now, folks, I think that's a pretty good reason to give a lady a room, don't you? But the innkeeper said, can't do it. Sorry. We have so many out-of-town visitors for the census. We don't have room for you. And I'm so busy, I can't really deal with this right now. He said, I've got a place you can go. It's just down there by the stable. You can go there. He was too busy. He was focusing on his guest. He had too many things going on at that time. And he missed the birth of Jesus Christ. Maybe you feel like sometimes you have too much going on at Christmas time. Be careful, because you could miss Christmas. There's a second group of people who missed Christmas. Oddly enough, it was the religious leaders. They missed Christmas because they were indifferent. They were indifferent. There were many people in Bethlehem on that day where Jesus was born, but not one religious leader. Not one. All of those people, and they did not go to Bethlehem. They didn't seek out what this prophecy was about. They were all over Jerusalem, but not one person showed up for the birth of the Savior. Remember when the wise men came to Jerusalem, they said, we're seeking this person called Jesus, supposed to be born king. Can you tell us about him? And Herod, king of Judea, which was a Jewish state, gathered all the religious leaders because they knew in the Old Testament what it said about when Jesus would be born. And in Matthew chapter 2, he says, when Herod had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them, where is this Christ to be born? In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet had written. And they told the wise men, so the wise men went off to find Jesus in Bethlehem. Yet what did the religious leaders do? They stayed behind. They didn't care. They said, we've got our own religion. We're good in that department. We have our own traditions. We have our own rituals. So they became very indifferent about the birth of Jesus Christ. They didn't go. Do you know how far it is from Bethlehem to Jerusalem? 5 miles. 5 miles. That's the same distance from Grimble Road on James Island down to Folly Beach. It wasn't far. They could have walked easily, but they were indifferent, and they missed Christmas. There was a third person who missed Christmas, the first Christmas. It was King Herod. The reason King Herod missed it is because he was afraid. He was afraid. In Matthew 2:2-3, it says, and they ask, where is this one who's been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. Now, this Herod, there were different Herods in history, but this King Herod, he was a lunatic. Seriously, he was classic paranoid schizophrenic. He had his wife killed. He had two of his sons killed. He was so afraid someone was going to take over his throne that anytime anyone threatened him, he had that person killed. 5 days before his death, he had all the rest of his children and family killed because he didn't want them to get up on his throne, even though he was ready to die. This is King Herod. So he gets wind of a story that a little baby boy is going to be born. Born what? King of the Jews. Same title Herod had. So that's why he ordered all the babies 2 years and under to be killed. He was afraid someone's going to come and take over his leadership. And as a result, he missed Christmas. He literally tried to kill Christmas. Some people miss Christmas today for the same reasons. They're too busy, they're too indifferent, or they're too afraid to investigate what Christmas is all about. So I want to share with you the rest of my time how not to miss Christmas. How do we make sure we are tuned in, zoned in to the meaning of Christmas that God wants us to understand and enjoy and appreciate? How many of you remember when your parents used to tell you something about crossing the street? There are three things you need to do, right? You need to stop, you need to look, and you need to listen. Stop, look, and listen. Let's use that as a way to guide us through this last part of the message here. Number one, in order not to miss Christmas, you must stop and make time for your spiritual life. Stop and make time for your spiritual life. God has made us as people composed of a lot of different aspects. There's an intellectual side of us. There's a social side, a relational side, a vocational side, emotional side, physical side. There's a sexual side of us. He gives us all kinds of different components that make up human beings. All of those different components make up who we are. But he also gives us a spiritual side. And if we don't want to miss Christmas, we need to take time to give our spiritual side attention. It's what's often mostly neglected, but it needs to be in the forefront. Look what Psalm 39, verse 6 says. All man's busy rushing around ends in what? Nothing. He heaps up riches for someone else to spend. You ever see those bumper stickers? I'm spending my grandchildren's inheritance. I love those, by the way. I just think they're great. Now I'm a grandfather. I'm going to pop them on the car right now. Then I'm going to go drive down the road where my kids live and go, look at this. It's easy to rush around. Folks, you can work 40, 60, 8 hours a week, but there'll come a time when you can't take any of that with you. God says we need to take time to stop and check our spiritual lives with him, our walk with him. Look what the antidote to this problem is of being too busy. In Psalm 46:10, it says this, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. That first couple of words there, be still, it literally means to take your hands, and we stay busy with our hands all the time. It literally means to take your hands and let them down. Just let them hang down. Because you know, if your hands are hanging down, you ain't going to do much. Right? God says, hey, just take a break. Christmas time is wonderful. It focuses our attention on God, that he sent his son Jesus. The Holy Spirit is in all of this. Just take time to stop what you're doing and put it aside. I know some people say, you don't understand my schedule. You don't understand my life. I can't do that. Oh, I understand your life. If you tell me you can't do that, I understand your life really well. There's a priority or two that's just a little bit out of sync. Take time to be still this Christmas season. Recognize who God is in your life. Take stock of your spiritual life, so you won't miss Christmas. Why do you think that the shepherds were the first ones who heard this good news from the angel? The Bible says that the shepherds were watching their sheep by night. It says they were watching their sheep sleep. You know why God gave them the message first? They were the only ones who probably would be paying attention. Do you know what you do when you watch sheep sleep? Now, during the day, they had much more responsibility for the sheep. But at nighttime, all they were doing was watch sheep sleep. So the angels had their attention, right? Hey, I got something for you. The shepherds weren't busy. They were still so God could get their attention. My guess is if that God were trying to call us sometimes, he'd get a busy signal. Make time for your spiritual life. Number two, there's another thing that we can do in order to make sure we don't miss Christmas this year. Not only must we stop, make time for our spiritual lives, but secondly, we need to look. We need to look. We need to honestly investigate who Jesus is. What is Christmas all about? Who was this Jesus? What does it mean that he was born? What about his life? You need to take time to investigate that. In Matthew 2:8, it says this, "Go and make a careful search for the child." Why do you think they called the wise men wise? It reminds me of a little boy who came home and he said, "Mom, Dad, I got a part in the play." They said, "Son, what part did you get?" He said, "Oh, I'm one of those wise guys." Why do you think they called them wise? Because they kept an open mind and investigated about this Jesus thing that was going on. The wise men weren't Jewish. They were from another part of the world, back in the Asian countries. They came because they were wise. They heard something might be going on, and they went, "Okay, let's check this out." Folks, that's all I ask anybody, ever. Most of us in here are already believers. We're already Christians. That's great. But when I talk to a lost person, I don't tell them all the depth of theology. I just give them the big story. Here's God, here's Jesus, here what happened. And they have questions. I don't get offended if they have questions. I don't get uptight. I don't go, "Oh, I don't know how to answer that." Let them make their investigation. I'm convinced if people honestly investigate who Jesus is because of who God is and the Holy Spirit working in them, if they're open and honest, it may take them a week, it may take them a month. I know people who have investigated for years. Whether they ever receive Jesus as their Savior, they're convinced at the other end of it that he was indeed God's Son. Investigate. I think that's important for Christians too. We tell people about our faith in God through Jesus, this Holy Spirit. We need to be able to investigate even more deeply so we can have a good way to respond to those folks. Do a good investigation. Now, one way you can do that is just to ask people, say, "Look, Jesus, this is who Jesus said he was. He's God's Son. He is Lord. That is Master." And people say, "Well, you know, I think Jesus was just a good teacher." He was a good teacher. He was a great teacher. But he didn't claim to be a good teacher. He claimed to be the Son of God. Listen, Jesus is either who he said he is, or he's the biggest liar that ever lived. He's either who he said he was, or he's an absolute lunatic claiming to be God. You can't say he was a good teacher if he says, "I'm God," and he's not, then you're not a good teacher. Does that make sense? Let people investigate. Do your investigation as a believer so you can share the love of God in a good way with others who ask you about it. Look at Jeremiah 29, verse 13. It says, God says, "You will see me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." I don't mind people who are seeking. I love for seekers to come into our church because you're a friendly group of people. You know God and Jesus, and you've let him, he's in the constant process of changing your mind, your heart, your outlook. I love for seekers to come in here because we're not trying to just, you got it. God is doing that work, not us. Seek out, because the good news of Christmas is for everyone. That's why we want you to pass these cards out. This is not the only way to invite somebody, but pass them out. You say, "Well, they may not come." If they're not going to come, they're not going to come one way or the other, if you hand them a card or not. But some people will come. And we'll be sharing the good news that night, kind of like we're sharing this morning. Some folks have doubts. You may have some doubts in your faith in God. In my stage of life, through all my education, all my years that I've pastored, some questions still come to my mind. I don't deny them. I deal with them. And do you believe that somebody as smart as me can't even answer all those questions? How dare me think of a question that I can't even answer? You don't have to understand everything to embrace Jesus Christ as your Savior. You just need to know that He forgives you of your sin. Folks, I don't know everything about the chemistry of digestion, but I love a good, thick, medium, rare ribeye steak for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I don't understand everything about combustion, but I drive my car every day. You don't have to have it all figured out. Make time for your spiritual life. Investigate who Jesus is. And third, number three, you listen. Don't be afraid of the good news. Don't be afraid of the good news. The angel said in Luke chapter 2, the angel said, "Fear not. Don't be afraid, because I bring you good news of great joy. A Savior has been born for you. He is Christ the Lord." Would you underline those two words in that verse, good news? Good news. First part of this verse, don't be afraid. No need for you to fear. Why would people be afraid of God? Why would people be afraid to give their lives to God's control? Sometimes it's because people don't understand what it means to be under God's control. They think He's a dictatorial killjoy who just makes you do certain things, can't do anything else, and that's not God at all. The fact is, folks, you're not really free until Jesus sets you free. Look at John 10:10. Jesus said, "I have come so that you may have life and have it to the fullest." Folks, people don't know, you don't know what living, real living is all about until you've come and allowed Jesus to come into your heart to be your Savior, to be the one who's in control of your life. He came to give us abundant life. Abundant life starts with things like knowing that all your sins, everything you've ever done wrong, everything you're doing wrong right now, and everything you're going to do in the future, all of that is absolutely canceled. You are forgiven. Because of that, Jesus gives you good standing in God's eyes. The good news of that is that one day when we die, and we're all going to, that our life isn't over. The person who's the person inside of us, the real person of us, our spirit, we immediately, instantaneously go to heaven to be with God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and all of the other ones who went on before us. Aren't you looking forward to meeting some of them? I mean, I want to see my family first, but I want to talk with Moses for a little while. I want to talk to Abraham. How about those prophets? Look at John 3:17. It says, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn it, but to save the world through Him." We all need a Savior. Everyone needs a Savior. Jesus didn't come to condemn us or to make us live under a burden of guilt. He came to save us and to take the guilt away and to free us up to be able to live the abundant life. Now, most of us have standards for ourselves that we can't even live up to, right? You put standards on yourself and you put them there and all of a sudden you realize, man, I blew it again, I blew it again, I blew it again. You don't have to twist my arm to let me know I fall short of God's glory. That's what the good news of Christmas is all about. Jesus came to forgive us. God's already done all of that for us, and the choice, therefore, is ours. What are you going to do in response to Christmas? What are your family members that haven't made a response to Jesus yet? What are they going to do based on what you share with them? What about strangers you come in contact with as you live your life, and they say, man, there's just something a little bit different about his life or about her life? One of the names that was given to Jesus in the Bible was Emmanuel. We sang a song about that, which means God with us. Jesus Christ himself left heaven to be with us. That's Christmas. Don't miss Christmas this year. Don't let some family members miss Christmas this year. Don't let some coworkers miss Christmas this year. Don't let your neighbors miss Christmas this year. Don't let some strangers you bump into miss Christmas this year. Share with them the good news of what Christmas is all about. You may even run into some people who are already Christians. And that means they've made a commitment to Christ, they've asked Jesus into their heart, but for some reason or another, they've kind of walked back away. They don't lose their salvation, but they lose their fellowship with God. They need to be brought back into the good news of Christmas as well. With whom can you share this good news? Would you pray with me, please? God, I want to thank you for the good news of Christmas. Thank you, Jesus, for allowing yourself to come into this world as a baby, as a child, as a human being with whom we can relate. Thank you, Jesus, that you grew up in a way that you showed us what it means to follow the Father. Thank you, Jesus, even when you became fully aware of what was going to happen to you in your death, you still went through that most horrific crucifixion. And thank you, Jesus, that you did it knowing you would be resurrected, and you give that hope to us. So help us, Lord, not get too busy to miss Christmas or to share Christmas with others. Help us to continue, Lord, to grow in you spiritually, in knowledge and in truth. And continue, Lord, to help us listen to your calling in our lives, one of which is to share the good news with others. What a better time, what an easier time than Christmas. Now, Father, bless our time of response to you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Everything that I'm about to say, I think, except a couple of things, are in your bulletin. So you can check that out. Make sure you follow through on all those different activities coming up. I do want to mention a couple things. Christmas party for the youth tomorrow night. That'll be at 6 o'clock. I'll be sending you out information text on that. Last year in our Christmas party, Jason, somebody reached in the box, and it was a rotisserie chicken in the little gift exchange. Yeah, that was a face. Well, I'm going to post that. Yeah, good face there. Also, I want to give you the, just a word of thanks. I think there's a couple of photos that Joe has to just say thank you, folks, for the angel tree, for all the work you did to just get that out, the poinsettias that have been bought. All of that. So big thanks to everybody for the work on that as well. Also, I do need to say, of course, the big Christmas Eve is the one with the cards that Kevin just mentioned. Take those out. Share those around. Growing Grace update. Here are the numbers, and see if we have those to come up. And they're in your bulletin. Obviously, the goal there, over 221,000, is 414 maybe, has been pledged. Over 129,000. That's over 6,000 was given last week. So thank you, thank you, thank you for that good work. Yes, good hand for that. All right. I see, is that Santa Claus? Who is that? That's Jay. Come, Jay's got a quick word he's going to say, I guess, here, coming up. Yeah, give Jay a hand. Look at that sweater.
I thought that gifts would be the appropriate thing to talk about since the Christmas season, and also I just wanted to speak on all the gifts that all these pastors, that in my mind, that they have. And, you know, I personally love each and every one of their gifts that they bring, except for John's. He gave me this shirt.
Can I get that back? Santa could come every week. You know, this would be kind of cool. So, Jay, and to the church as well, thank you. Your gifts are what we appreciate, and the gifts that you bring to the table. That's how our church will grow. Everybody out here has gifts. Use them. I'll say this one other thing. I promise, Kevin, this is it. This is it. Gift of gab right here. We talked in the youth class a while ago, and I think they're gathering out in the hallway. It's Jesus' birthday, but isn't it interesting that we all share gifts with one another? What are we giving to him? What are we giving to him? It's his birthday, so let's think on that as we go forward. All right? Love it. Love that song. As we go today, take that excitement, take a few cards, and invite some folks to come back Christmas Eve. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for this just a great family feeling right here, family of worshipers coming together. Help us to take that spirit out into our community, to invite people back to celebrate on Christmas Eve, to celebrate your birth, Lord. We love you, we thank you, and we pray all of this in Jesus' name. And we all said,
Amen. Amen.